promised me.
Cooling down, the nights will cool down, but the weather is absolutely perfect. So you agree with that? Hey, is anybody in here awake today? I just want to make sure, okay? Hello, okay. So every once in a while I may say that as I'm speaking to make sure that you're awake, amen? So, hey, tell your mind, amen, tell your soul, say, hey, pay attention for the next 30, 45 minutes or so, give or take, right? We'll do my best. I have quite a few points, but I'm going to try to get through them rather quickly because I want to have some time for some communion together. Let's have communion today. And I think the message that I'm sharing today is going to be a perfect lead-in into communion. So I'm going to do a part three on Gideon. So when I, you know, there's been times where we've had special speakers, so I know I haven't had a straight 3 weeks through. So Gideon's weakness turned to strength, part three. So Gideon's an amazing individual because, see, I want us, when I get done speaking today, I want you to understand that these things were written for us, this being 2,800 years ago, but still has everything to do with the believer. You know, in the Old Testament, Christ was concealed, but under the New Covenant, these things that we're talking about is Christ is now revealed. Christ is revealed under the New Covenant. And so I can take a look at somebody like a Gideon, as we'll see, who never really had a lot of confidence, but yet God still blessed him, God still used him. I can tell you, if it had to do with Gideon just saying the right things or doing the right things, God would not have chosen Gideon. Okay? So as I get through this, I'll have some points I want to move through quickly, okay? But if you can, let me have ears to hear today. The Lord, let me just say this, the Lord wants to encourage you. He's always looking to encourage his people. Amen. He's always looking to encourage them to have confidence in him, his ability in you. And that the Lord, if you're struggling in any area today, my prayer is God is going to meet you right where you're at. Amen. With healing, with strength, with encouragement. That's what Jesus wants to do today. Do you agree with that? Yes. Amen. So I just want to go over a quick couple of points because Gideon hides in the wine press threshing wheat. We started out that's how that begins in Judges 6, and it's like, man, he's hiding because we have the Midianites who for 7 years have been destroying Israel. And Israel had turned away from God. When I say turned away from God, I'm not talking about where they're not just following the law at that time under the old covenant. Man, they're just worshiping other gods. They're not worshiping Yahweh. To a big degree, most of the people, Israelites, were worshiping Baal and other gods during that time. And so God had given them over to the Midianites. Is that because God is mean? No, he was wanting to get their attention because he is a jealous God. He loved them. He said, hey, can I get your attention? There's no other God besides me. I'm the only one that can help you. I'm the only one that can strengthen you. Amen. I'm the only one that can lead and guide your life is what he's saying this morning. But he was saying, and get to Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, amen. So Gideon hides in the wine press. Usually wine press is what for crushing grapes. But he's threshing wheat. And so he's in a dire situation because that's not even the place where you thresh wheat. So he's just trying to scavenge what wheat he can as he's separating the wheat from the chaff. But it's not even the right place. He's at the right place at the wrong time, but God still meets him there. The angel of the Lord says this to him, the Lord is with you, valiant warrior. Are you kidding me? He's hiding. There's no soldiers during this time. I want to tell you, there's no soldiers in Israel during this time because every year the Midianites and the Amalekites would come and strip the land of everything. So that they were hiding when the Amalekites and the Midianites would come against Israel to take everything from them, to basically destroy them, they were hiding. There was no soldier. So there was no, hey, let's get an army together. There was no weapons of warfare. All of that had been taken by the enemy. So he was in a hard spot, and still God speaks this to him. Valiant warrior. And he's like, me? Right? He says, me? And then he goes into the dialogue, if you're with us, God. And then on top of it, Gideon doesn't even really know the word of God. He's saying things like this. If you're with us, then where you been? And it's like God could say, have you seen what's been going on? Have you seen that people haven't been even following me or worshiping me? Do you know any, at that time, Gideon, do you know anything about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the law? Do you know anything about the blessings and the curses? Do you not see the signs of the time of what's going on? He was just complaining. He says, where have you been? And then the angel of the Lord consumes the meat and the unleavened bread with fire. Remember, he brings an offering and he consumes, and the angel of the Lord, which is a representation of Jesus Christ. You and I, unleavened bread, meaning Jesus, only through Jesus Christ, are we righteous? Amen. Can be made righteous, walk in righteousness, only through Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and most of all, his resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. He is not dead. He is risen. Amen. He is alive. Amen. So because he's alive, you and I in Christ Jesus are dead to sin and alive unto him. That means we're alive in Christ Jesus. That is exciting stuff. Do you realize how exciting that is? Man, if you remember when you were dead in sins and miserable, and you know him today, what he's done for you, and you're alive unto him. Man, that is reason to rejoice in him. That is a reason to have a smile on your face. Gideon destroys. And then Gideon, listen, Gideon's own father worshiped Baal and had an Asherah pole, which means worshiping this god of fertility. So a lot of sexual sin was involved in that society then. Well, I'm sure we don't have any trouble with that today, but I'm not going to stop there. Nothing is new under the sun, saints. Nothing is new under the sun. The things that we're experiencing today in society, man, it's not new. That's been experienced. Just read the Old Testament, amen. Nothing is new under the sun. The things that we're going through now, amen. Gideon was going through that thing right there. Gideon was in much worse of a situation, to be honest, than we are. But yet God showed up and said, hey, valiant warrior. Gideon destroys his own father's altar to Baal and the Asherah pole. He cuts it down. And then he builds, then he worships God, right? He at that place, he puts a new, puts a new altar. Thank you for helping me. A new altar. And worships God right on top of that. It said right on top of that stronghold. He says that he worshiped and make a sacrifice to God. Meaning that God was tearing down the lies that had brought society to that point then. And so I'm going to move on from there. So God calls him to be the deliverer. And, you know, at this time, even then, as God had said, hey, valiant warrior. And God had also, you know, that angel had touched that offering, that unleavened bread and that meat, and it caught on fire on that rock, a representation, as we said today, our firm foundation. That rock is who? Jesus Christ, amen? And so he sees this angel, and he sees God catch this rock on fire on this altar, and his worship, and he didn't have confidence. And so point number one as we move through this, at this time, he still has no confidence, and yet the Lord was still working through him. Amen. You ever felt like you don't have a lot of confidence in what God may be doing in your life, or maybe you've been praying for about certain things, and have you ever felt like, man, I don't feel very confident in my prayers? You ever been there? Amen. Are your prayers just full of life all the time? Not mine. Sometimes I'm praying about things, and my soul realm of my mind is trying to fight against it, saying, why are you wasting your time praying about this? Why are you still praying about this? But yet in my spirit, man, it says, keep praying, keep worshiping him, keep honoring him. And through this situation right here that God is working through Gideon, even though Gideon, as we're going to see, still didn't have much confidence in the Lord. Man, our Lord, our God, our Savior, Jesus, he's so faithful, isn't he? Isn't he faithful? And let me just say this. So that point number one, at this time, he had no confidence in the Lord. Point number two, can we take today and celebrate his love and patience for our lives? Can we do that? With everything that we see going on in the news and all the insane things we see around the world, sometimes it can be easy to focus on those things. Do you admit, or is that just me? Right? Maybe I can focus on Max News or some other websites, right? Whatever your pleasure is. And I was talking to Mr. Harris this morning about that, and I can get stirred up and get pretty PO'd. I mean, that means mad, I think. So if you mad about things. But can we take a moment today and celebrate his love and patience for our own lives? You know, and how he wants to extend that love to your least favorite neighbor. Can I say that? Can I put it that way? You go to remember Jesus and remember when we have the Samaritan, right? That there's a guy that's been beaten up real quick and nobody would stop and help him. Who stopped and helped him? His enemy, the Samaritan. Isn't that amazing? Now he takes him to an inn and he takes care of him and bandages him up and helps him. And then he's got to leave and he goes to the innkeeper and said, here's some money to help take care of my enemy. And by the way, if there's anything else that's owed, next time I come by this way, I'll pay it. Man, I have to admit, that's a love for maybe some people I don't care for that I don't quite understand. But let me say this. Can we take a minute and say, Lord, can we begin to understand in this day and age as you move in our lives, can we have a heart like you do for, I'll say it this way, for our least favorite neighbor? Amen. If you've ever, me and Gina have moved a lot. So in 37 years, we've moved 23 times. And we've had some opportunities to have some neighbors that weren't really, you know, but would say were kind of grumpy, so to speak, right? They weren't very good neighbors. And to show God's love or to, you know, to still acknowledge him sometimes is not easy. So maybe you've had some opportunities to have neighbors that were really no good at all. But this morning, as I move from on this, can we maybe, Lord, help us to extend love to our least favorite neighbors? You know, it can become exhausting. Maybe I'm just speaking to myself, introspective on this, but maybe ask yourself, or maybe you experience this as well. It can become exhausting at being angry at people all the time. Does that make sense? Am I? Hello? I will apply that to me. Some of the things that I see going on, that I can find myself very angry at some people quite often. So this morning, if you can, as we move through this, that maybe you can, sometimes we need to just, Lord, I want to walk in your rest and your peace. Lord, I want to have a heart as you're moving by your Spirit, Lord, as the Holy Spirit desires to, is going to be bringing people in that we would never expect. Amen. I was saying during the pre-service this morning, as I was talking to somebody a couple days ago, and they were telling me about this youth group with junior high, and without even somebody, a pastor or leader, telling them that these junior high boys and girls were meeting and praying an hour every day for their school, praying that God would move in their schools. And these were young people, these are junior high kids that come from very broken homes. These weren't junior high kids that came from perfect homes. And you would think, hey, yes, that makes sense that group of junior hires would get together and begin to pray for their school and for their fellow students. No, these were people that had come from very dysfunctional backgrounds that Jesus Christ had touched and saved their lives, and now on fire for God, and now are beginning to meet on their own to pray for their fellow junior high-ends. Man, that's when you know God is moving, amen? When they have the heart of God for those that were broken like them and not being raised in religion, not even know really what's really right or wrong yet, but knowing that they love Jesus, he's done a major work in their lives. And they said, how can we tell those, our fellow students? You know the Lord is on the move then. Then you know that younger generation has a chance. When no matter what the background is, Christ is moving in their lives. Isn't that exciting? So let's celebrate his life today. And you know, I'm going to say God, number three. So point two, can we take today and celebrate his love and patience for our own lives and others? And point three, God moves when it looks beyond our capability. Did you know that? God moves and does things when it's beyond our capability. And so this, you know, this army, so Gideon blows his trumpet and he gets all these leaders or all these men to come together. Not soldiers. So I'm not calling them soldiers, because remember, they're not soldiers. We're going to see in this story, there's not a single weapon of warfare in the natural used for God's victory. And Judges 7:2 says this, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to hand Midian over to them. Otherwise, Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power has saved me. And let me just say this, is if the odds weren't already bad enough, as Gideon gets this army together to come against Midian, we're going to see the Midian army and the Amalekites are gathered together to come into Israel for the 7th or 8th year in a row to strip them of everything, amen? And there's about 135,000. If you read in further on in Judges, it tells you there's 135,000 soldiers. And Israel has about 22,000 soldiers. So they have about 16% of what the enemies, the soldiers, they have about 16% of the amount of soldiers that the Midianites have. And God says this, it's too many. It's too many. Because even if you have just a fraction of what the Midianites and the Amalekites have, I know you guys, you're going to somehow, some of you are going to say, well, you know, we are pretty good. We are pretty strong, even though they don't have any weapons of warfare. See, the mind of man, the flesh of man, always wants to take credit, doesn't he? But it's the Spirit of God that gets the credit as we read this, as we begin to read in this story once more, further down. 16% amount of soldiers, and God says it's too many. And so let's continue. I'm going to start reading Judges 7, 4 through 8. And it says, then the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. So it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But every one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. Verse 5. So he brought the people down to the water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, you shall put everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps in one group, and everyone who kneels down to drink in another. Now the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. But all the rest of the people kneeled down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, I will save you. I will save you with the 300 men who lapped, and will hand the Midianites over to you. So have all the other people go, each man to his own home. So the 300 men took the people's provisions and their trumpets to their hands, and Gideon dismissed all the other men of Israel, each to his tent, but retained the 300 men, and the camp of Midian was below in the valley. So now we're getting down to where it makes sense for God. not for the Israelites. So we've got 135,000 Midianite soldiers and their horses and camels and all their provisions, all their weapons of warfare that they might have. And we've got 300 Israelites. Can you imagine that? 300 people. You know, it's wonderful to say this, that we realize that regardless of what you and I could be facing, whether it be sickness or anything, that with God, man, God doesn't need any math odds in his favor. It could look like 0% to you and I of God working in your favor in a situation, amen? It can look like 0%, and that's when God says, that's perfect. That's perfect. Because now you're going to have to put your trust in me and in not yourself. God knew how man was to say, yeah, you have 22,000 soldiers and you're likely to get wiped out by the Midianites. But now that we got 300, there was zero chance, basically. 0.0001 chance that you're going to be successful. See, it looked like they were going to be running into a suicide mission, didn't it? God knew that. He separated. Let me just give you a couple more points. Number 4, separation from those that are confident in themselves. Why? I think this, I've heard different things of, hey, they were, you know, the ones that were, the 300 were lapping like that. They were watching. They were paying attention. But God wasn't looking for people that were just paying attention in their own strength and own ability. Can I be honest? He said, what I thought it was interesting, he said, those that lap like dogs. And so I thought, you know, Lord, you don't say anything in the Word of God unless there's a meaning, right? There's a meaning and a purpose of that. And so I started thinking about that and searching the scriptures, and Paul says in Philippians 3, 2 and 3, so he separated those who lapped the water like a dog from the 300. And so it says here in Philippians 3, 2 and 3, it says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we, this Paul starts, it would sound like he's boasting, but he's saying this to the Philippians, says, for we are the true circumcision. That's a bold statement, isn't he? Because that means there has to be some false circumcision. And it's those who wanted to still be under the law and practice circumcision, amen? Meaning those who were Jews at the time who said, no, you Christ is not the answer alone. No, you still got to follow the law, or you still got to do certain things in your own ability and flesh and your own strength. And Paul was saying, no, those who really have come into Christ and to his grace and his mercy, he said, we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and take pride in what? In Jesus Christ. And put no confidence in the flesh. Amen. So what is it, going back to Judges chapter 7, well, he was looking for those. He put them in a situation where there is not going to be any confidence in the flesh or your ability at all. Those that are dogs, those that were still a part of that group that had confidence in their own ability. Those that said, man, I can do this in my own strength. God said, I'm separating them from this battle. Because they went down to the water. Let me tell you, the water always represents the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The washing of the water of the word as it washes over us is the truth of God reminding us who we are in him, reminding us that we are more than conquerors, amen, reminding us that we're victorious. This water was a separation, when he said, bring him down to the water, separation of those who could do it on their own ability and the 300 that remained saying, we don't know how this is going to work. It looks bad, but we're going to trust the Lord. We're down at this water. We're refreshed by the Holy Spirit. And we don't know how it's going to work out. 135,000 Midianites who, by the way, who have come up and whipped their tails for 7 and 8 years in a row. So we don't just have a battle. We have a battle where for 7 and 8 years, we've seen what the enemy could do. They saw what the enemy could do in a family. They saw what the enemy could do in their own lives. They saw what the enemy could do in a nation. Yet with just a small group of people, they said, somehow, God, you're going to turn it around. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, that water that they were down and drinking of was refreshing them. And it was God speaking to them saying, man, we can go forward, God. We don't know how because we don't have any weapons. We've been whipped 7 and 8 years in a row. We've wondered where you've been, God. But we can tell, Lord, that you are now moving in the hearts of people. That's what they realized as the Spirit of God touched them. You know, I sense the Lord moving in young people. In young people. And it's starting to move outside the walls of the church. Isn't that amazing? And it's working in the hearts of, I said, of those who have been broken, with those who haven't had an example of righteousness and purity. In spite of the odds being against them, the water of the Holy Spirit has begun to move. And it probably wouldn't be like I would think it would be or should be, but I just know, with me and Richie Chambly and other youth leaders in the area, I just know I want to be there when God begins to do that. Whatever part I have to just simply watch God miraculously do things. As those individuals tell me about this move of God amongst junior high, they were reading their word and he would talk to these junior high boys and girls, and the Lord is showing them things from the word. They're like, who taught you this? Who on YouTube showed you this? They said, no, we read the word of God, and God showed it to me himself. He showed me. He spoke to me. He's the one that showed me who I am in him. He showed me how valuable I am. He showed me against all odds that I belong to him. And then I'm going to accomplish great things for his glory. That's the Gideon company. That's a Gideon company. And that excites me. Father, thank you for your presence in the Gideon company. Thank you, Jesus, for times of refreshing in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, the power of the Holy Spirit breaking things like that that people have been waiting and looking for and striving for many years. Like the woman at the issue of blood who finally, after spending all that she had over a period of 12 years, said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I've tried everything. Now that my ability and what I can do has come down to 0% chance that I'll be well, that I'll get healed, that I'll ever be able to do anything for him, but something, this last desperation, if I touch his hem, I'm going to be made whole. Amen. Thank you for those, Lord, now in this day and this age, touching the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but thank you, Lord, that we are touching the hem of your garment for to be strengthened, to be healed, to be delivered, to be made whole. Amen. To having purpose. God doing a brand new thing. Thank you, Lord, for new wine in Jesus' name. Thank you for waking people up in Jesus' name. There'll be those that'll be okay to remain in a stupor, but we thank you for having a Gideon group who are coming alive and awakened. You saying, I don't care what the odds look like in the United States. I don't care what the odds look like in the school system. You are going to move with great power, and he's already begun to do it. Hallelujah. It may we not be a group of people that just come to church and just want to be entertained and say, give me a word of entertainment. But then we'd have a hunger and thirst that even when we're not here, not at church together, we have a hunger and thirst that, God, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for speaking to me afresh and new. Thank you for leading and guiding me. Thank you, Lord, that just coming on Sunday to hear some guy speak is not enough, that you speak to me daily. A normal man. A normal Gideon. Guy that didn't have any confidence. Guy that didn't have any ability in himself. You know, let me just say this about dogs. You know, you think of dogs. Now, we love our dogs now. I understand that. So I'm not saying anything about dogs. But understand that, you know, in the time of antiquity, at this time, 2,000 years ago, dogs were just wild dogs. They would run in packs and steal food. It was different. They weren't pets like we are thinking about now. They could be dangerous. They could steal, they could deceive. So when it says that beware of these dogs, man, these are people in their own strength, their own ability, what they could do. Let me just say that I already read beware of dogs, beware of those. So these dogs were just a representation of today of people that can do things in their own ability. I don't need that. I don't need that. I'd love to come with your company, Gideon, but I don't need that. I don't like the way you're doing it. You're putting your confidence in the Lord, but man, you need to make some plans. We need to make some swords. So we better back up. Maybe go make some swords. Maybe make a plan. I'm not saying there's anything against plans, but what I'm saying is the Lord had put them in a situation with Gideon that they could not do anything in themselves. You know, it's a beautiful place to be in your life when you realize outside of Christ, you can't do anything in your life. Amen? You can't become righteous on your own. You can't break that battle of addiction on your own. You can't experience joy on your own. Amen? It's something that when you come to the water, come into the presence of God, come into the presence of the Holy Spirit. As I've learned, and this is the wonderful thing, is see, he's your father. So when you're talking to him, he teaches you to hear his voice, comparing it to the Word of God. I've had times I've heard things and told friends and those who are kind of mentors that, hey, the Lord told me this. And I said, no, he didn't. Because it doesn't match up with the Word. It's opposite. Oh, okay. So as we take in this word, as it becomes the priority in our life and we hear his voice wanting to speak to us. Let me tell you, is your walk with Christianity something where you're just tithing and coming and standing up for your favorite group, you know, and politically, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're going to be talking about that. We want things politically. We the people, come on now. But we can accomplish me and Ken were talking about this last night, man, Jesus Christ is our priority, but we still stand up for truth, and we're still we the people, so we can do many things. We can accomplish many things in him, amen? Absolutely. And so he's separated from those who could do things on their own, amen? Let me continue. So this is this confidence in themselves. This wasn't a confidence in themselves, but it was in that water, which is the Holy Spirit. So let me continue from that. Amen. And then God's supernatural encouragement. Let me tell you, God's supernatural encouragement follows much of the time when we take steps of faith. I'm always waiting. No, Lord, encourage me first, then I'll take that step. You encourage me first, then I'll take that step. But I'm finding out, and you'll find out here, it's like, no, you take that step. That's why they call it faith. He loves faith. You've heard me say this before. God loves faith. He loves faith. Faith is what pleases him. It's something beyond the mind, beyond the comprehension, beyond what you could see. And it goes straight to the heart, seeing things in the spiritual realm with faith. Seeing the substance of those things that you don't see in the natural, but you know in the supernatural, in the spirit, you see them. You know they are coming. Amen. The most obvious is you believe in Jesus Christ, so you know you're going to spend eternity within heaven. 99.9 of us have had not even a close glimpse of heaven yet, right? But yet you believe in something you haven't seen. That's called faith, anchored in hope. So God's supernatural encouragement follows faith. So let me read. I'm going to read a few more scriptures here because this is absolutely amazing, okay? Okay, so he separated them down to 300. All right, here we go. Judges 7, 9 through 14. So now on the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have handed it over to you." Hallelujah. With how many people? "But if you are afraid to go down," God's patience and kindness, amen, "go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp, so that you will hear what they say. And afterward you will have the courage to go down against the camp." So he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the army that was in the camp, so the Midianites. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand of the seashore. When Gideon came down to that edge of the camp, right, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend. And he said, "Behold, I had a dream, a loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so the tent collapsed." And his friend replied, "This is nothing other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has handed over him Midian and all the camp." Isn't that amazing? See, when we take, let me tell you, when God is doing things or telling us to take steps of faith and we know it's him leading us and guiding us. I've learned that so many times I got to take that step of faith and not feeling any of that encouragement. He's whittled down to 300. So he just know now it's 300. Okay, there we are. I know he's scared. I know those 300 guys are wondering what's happened. And then God's so faithful. He said, "Hey, you want some encouragement?" God will always encourage you. Man, when you don't give up or give in, God is always going to encourage you supernaturally. Somehow, whether it's a dream or a vision or somebody giving you a prophetic word that you know is from the Lord and it encourages you, it helps you to continue on, or the Lord speaks to you himself through his word that encourages you. So he goes down to the camp, and here's something that's so amazing. It seems silly in the natural. He sees this big loaf of barley bread bouncing down. Hits the camp, hits the tent, not just hits it, turns it over, and it collapses. That barley bread is nothing else than Jesus Christ. And back, going back then, the Old Testament showing, who's the bread of life? Who's the bread of life? We're going to be taking of the bread of life today. Who's the bread of life? Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the bread of life. This is saying that the enemies that we face, this barley bread, if you put your trust in Jesus, rolls down into the camp and not only brings injury to the camp, but it wipes out that tent, it turns upside down, and it collapses. It means the enemy has totally been defeated by Jesus Christ. See, he already accomplished this on the cross. So he was as an example of what Jesus would do 26 or 2700 years ago. He is the bread of life. Amen. He says, take this bread and take this drink, for this is my blood in the new covenant. Believe in me, and the promises of God being yes and amen. And the new covenant, it says in Hebrews, has promises that far outweigh what they had in the old covenant. This is a representation of the enemies of God being completely defeated. And it was, if you go on to this story, all that he had to do with his friends is he takes 300 jars of clay, and they have a torch, they put it inside of it, and then they break the clay. And that's me, you and I saying, Lord, I give you my life. Lord, thank you for breaking the power of sin over my flesh, Lord God. I give you my life. And when that is broken, then we have this torch of the Jesus Christ that lives in us, that's bright for all the world to see. And the enemy, all they could sue is see these torches and hear these 300 trumpets. And then it says that by the power of God, the enemy turned on themselves and they completely destroyed one another. And based upon 300 men who basically did very little but trust God, saying, take these pictures, take this fire here, and when you blow that trumpet, break them and yell, amen. And then the enemy turned on themselves, killed themselves, were confused, they ran, and then Gideon and his army was able to run after them and wipe them completely out based upon having no plan at all, no weapons, amen. All they had was 300 people that they said, here's the plan. If those ones that had been, that they were called the dogs, had been there, they'd said, nah, that's not going to work, guys. Start over. Okay, remove that piece of paper. Start. That's silly. No, but these 300 men said, we'll do it. We don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. We've never seen it happen before. Gideon was the fourth. He was the fourth judge Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judge, Joshua. So after Joshua, he was the fourth judge, amen. They had never really heard of this happening before. They'd never seen nothing but defeat. But when they turned to God, amen, that barley bread, I'm telling you, saints, is Jesus Christ. See, he's made an open spectacle of principalities and powers. See, principalities and powers have been defeated. Amen. The only power they now have over you and I, saints, is what we believe. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. He is our victory. That barley bread came through when Jesus died, that barley bread came through the camp of the enemy, completely upended all the plans of the enemy, flattened that tent out, and there was no more, was complete victory. Isn't that good news? See, Jesus said in John 6:35, as the piano player comes, John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. But this is Jesus, amen? I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry. And the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. Thank you, Jesus, for being more than a conqueror. Thank you for your victory in our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, if we could just, we're not fighting from a place. We're like those individuals, Father God, that were with Gideon, Lord, that they were just trusting you, Lord. And there was a prophecy about what was going to happen to the camp before they ever did anything. And it's a prophecy for you and I, what Jesus did. So he was seeing the victory already before it came. So let me ask you, are you seeing the victory in your life before you even see it? Amen. Seeing the victory for your children. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus is the bread of life for our children. Hallelujah. For our school system. Amen. Thank you that Jesus is the bread of life for victory in our school systems. Amen. Thank you for all those that are weary and heavy laden, those that hunger and thirst for his righteousness. It's coming to Jesus, who has already secured the victory for you and I. He is that barley bread that wiped out the Midianites and the Amalekites. They thought they were coming in to poke at Israel again, take everything they had, to mock them, destroy them. Little did they know, just like Satan, little did he know when Jesus hung on the cross, that the barley bread was coming into the camp and flipping the enemy's camp completely upside down. I don't know about you saints, but I want to be like those 300 men of Gideon, coming down to that water and being refreshed. Hallelujah. If you're okay, can you lift your hand and say, Lord, thank you for times of refreshing. Thank you for times of refreshing. We love you. How you love us. Thank you for what you've already begun to do in the lives of young people. Lord, thank you that you're not leaving us seasoned citizens behind either. Thank you for times of refreshing for those that are in their 80s, in their 70s, in their 60s, in their 50s, hallelujah, in their 40s, in their 30s, in their 20s, teenagers, preteens. Lord, we thank you for times of refreshing right now. We thank you for pouring out your Holy Spirit afresh and anew, Father God. Lord, may there be a hunger and a thirst in us, Father God. May we finally see clearly, Father God, that all we need is you in this day and this age, Father God. As we see the world going crazy, Lord, as we can see that your return is imminent and it's soon, Father God. But I believe you're going to pour out your Spirit, Father God, afresh and anew, Lord. I believe before you come, Lord, we're going to get to see you do an amazing work in America that nobody but God can take credit. Hallelujah. Can you stand up with me? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sorry, I preached myself happy. God, we love you. We praise Amen. You. We exalt you. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your victory. Thank you for your healing power to those that need healing right now in your body. If you need healing in your body, reach out to him. Say, Lord, thank you for healing. It doesn't matter if it's cancer. Doesn't matter if it's your back. Doesn't matter what is a blood disease, whatever it is, a tumor. Father God, we thank you for your healing power in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. We declare it over our lives, Father. We speak it over our lives. We thank you, Lord, that our house is built upon the solid rock we stand, amen. No matter what storms, what winds come our way, we shall stand firm in you, Father. Thank you that we're amongst, Father God, that Gideon 300, Father God, as we have seen the bread of life give us victory. And so we thank you for that, Father, this morning. We love you, Lord. Thank you for ministering to our lives. I'm going to have you sit down again because we got to take a communion. Sorry, you needed that anyway, didn't you? Hey, are you glad to be walking by faith? So as we take this communion, does everybody have an element? Let me just say this again. Jesus is that barley bread, big loaf that came into the camp. It was a dream. It was a dream. It was a prophetic dream. But it was not only a prophetic dream for then, it's a prophetic dream for now. Thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of prophecy. Thank you for dreams and visions. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for people being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for prayer languages. Thank you for people praying in tongues like never before. Thank you, Father, for the supernatural being a part of our lives, Father God, the supernatural. Father, thank you, Lord, that when we're praying for people or declaring the word of God, that people, Father God, being supernaturally set free. Father, thank you for people coming into relationship with you. Thank you for people being filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for people being healed. Thank you for people being changed forever. You agree with that? I hope so. I hope so. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to just take a quick second. As we take communion, what a powerful time a communion is. Here's what communion is to me. I know what it used to be. Fear, couldn't take it. because if you had sin or struggles, you couldn't take it. So I growing up, I could hardly ever take communion. I was fearful. What a crock of lies. I hate to say, I don't mean to offend anybody, but read the whole chapter. It's talking about those who were dividing the body of Christ. Yes. And those who were mocking the poor. Those are what he was talking about. That's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about people struggling in their... I mean, who doesn't struggle? My goodness. If you want to look hard enough, you can find something you struggle with and say, I'm just going to pass on communion. But this is what I learned about communion. Lord, it's a reminder how much I need you. It's a reminder of what you accomplished for me. It's a reminder of what you're going to continue to do in my life. It's a reminder of what you're going to continue to do in your church. And so when I come to take communion, I come with great joy and say, thank you for washing my sins away. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that I can have confidence before you right in the middle of the struggle of my life. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of grace. For by grace have you been saved through faith. I said, for by grace have you been saved through faith. Thank you, Father, as we take that. What did Gideon experience? He experienced God's grace as that dream, that barley bread. He saw that dream, came down and wiped out the whole army. Amen. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, this is what Paul says. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. Can you take this bread? Now, this isn't barley bread. But it represents that same exact thing that came into the Midian and Amalekite camp and completely destroyed it. This represents the destruction and the power of sin over my life. This right here means that I can walk in clarity of mind, and those things that would try to bring torment are broken in Jesus' name because he is my victory. And so with that betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together, can we? Are you thankful for the blood? Saints, are you thankful for the blood? Can you do this? Can you just hold this blood up? It's just like a sacrifice, saying, Lord, I realize only your blood can wash my sins away. I realize only your blood can make me white as snow. Only your blood can make me in right standing with you. Amen. By your stripes I'm healed. Lord, you shed blood long before the cross. You shed much blood when you were receiving stripes on your back. You were shedding blood when they plucked your beard out. You were shedding blood when they put the crown of thorns around your head. You were shedding blood when they were beating you and saying and mocking him. He was already shedding blood so that I could walk in 100% peace. And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's drink the cup together. Let's stand up together, Christ,
Gina. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand.
Let's just worship him a minute.
When everything around me shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus.
Amen.
He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations.
Hallelujah.
So why would he fail now?
He won't. Yes, amen. He won't.
He won't.
Amen.
Because I've still got
in
chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. Yes, he is. So why would he fail now?
Oh, he won't. He'll never fail. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
He'll
Do you
never
agree with
fail.
That today?
He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't fail. He won't. One more time. He won't. He won't, Jesus. He won't fail.
Amen. Do you believe that?
Hallelujah.
He will never Thank fail. Man may fail me. Man's systems may fail me, but he will never fail me. So with that, let me just pray. Lord, we thank you for a blessed day this afternoon. Lord, we thank you that tomorrow, the best day of the week. Father, as we wake up with, Lord, just with this verse, your mercies are new every morning. Lord, may we wake up tomorrow, everybody, the sound of my voice, wake up tomorrow hearing your voice. Father, hearing your voice. And so we declare that over our lives, amen. We thank you for our God, how we love you, how we praise you, how we exalt you, how we lift your name on high. Thank you that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Lord, we're not called to cope. We're called to conquer in Jesus' name. And so we declare that right now. We thank you for your strength and your anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Be blessed today.